Hello.
Good morning. Am I speaking with Mr. Hunter?
Yeah, speaking. Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Aaron. I'm calling from INS Law.
Just in regards. Yeah. I know what it is. Yeah. Hi, mate. Yeah.
Perfect. Is now a good time to talk?
Yeah, might as well. Yeah, go on.
Perfect. Happy days. What I'll do is share this. I'll just go through the your inquiry and the application process with you.
Go on.
Okay. So just going to start off by getting some generic details for data protection.
Yeah.
So we've got your first name here. Is it Ian?
Yeah, I-A-I-N, yeah.
Yep, and we've got your middle name is George.
That's correct, yeah.
And last name is Hunter.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect, okay. And we've got your email address here as
ianmhol@gmail.com. Yeah.
Okay, and what's your date of birth, please, Ian?
2708-68.
Perfect, okay. And your home address, please?
38 Britannia Crescent. Liverpool, LA9XS.
Perfect, okay. Just populating that into my system now. Present. Okay, perfect. And the communication preferences with yourself, Ian, are we okay to send you emails and texts as well as give you a call?
Yeah, all three.
Perfect, thank you. And do you have any terminal illnesses you need to make me aware of at all?
None.
No, okay. And would you like to add a beneficiary to your application?
Yeah, I'm going to put my lad on it if that's okay. Yeah.
Yep, is he over the age of 18?
No, so he can't go on it.
Ah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. That does create an issue. I haven't got any. I'm at liberty to put anybody I want.
Yeah, anybody you want of your choice.
Okay.
As long as over the age of 18.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, just in case I die or something, I'll put Phyllis Starkey, so I'll spell it for you. PHYLLIS. Surname Starkey. STARKEY.
Yep. And
same address.
Date of birth, please.
Yeah, she's old. That's the Bible I'm going to use. She's 1-2-1938. Is that right? 1-2-1938 plus the second 1938.
Yeah.
It's just a solicitor thing.
Okay. And you said the same address as yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, perfect. And do you have a mobile number for Phyllis at all?
Give me a second.
Yep.
Still with me? I'll have to get on the other phone. You still there? Yeah.
Yep, still
there. Again, try to open this up. Don't use it, it's my spare. Okay. Should be like, no. Yep. 07722.
Yep.
000.
Yep.
337.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Okay. And was you known by any other names during your time in Kerry?
Yeah.
And what would they be?
Right, I'll give you my absolute full name. It's a big one. Okay, you ready? So,
yep.
First name, I-A-I-N.
Yep.
Middle names plural, because I've dropped one just because it's so inconvenient. So, George.
Yep.
And next middle name, Fraser, F-R-A-S-E-R. Fraser, F-R-A-S-E-R.
Yep.
Yeah, and surname is it's McBain, so I'll spell it because people get it wrong. So
yep.
M-A-C, well, small a, small c, capital B.
Yep.
McBean.
Okay, not a
So
problem.
it looks like McBean, but it's pronounced McBain.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and have you changed your name legally by deed, poll, or marriage?
No, there is one other thing. My mother, when I came out of care, she gave me her surname for a period of 2 or 3 years, and then it got changed to Hunter when she remarried. When she married,
Yeah, okay.
So I've had three surnames, but the one I was in care with was McBain. That's my baptismal Christian, christening name, and right through till I would say 5 or 6, and then it was Monroe, if that's of any relevance to this issue, and then it's back to, and then it's Hunter. So that's just a little bit complicated.
Yeah, no, of course. What was the surname before care?
Before care? Oh, well, I went to care as a baby.
Right, okay, yeah, so I'm trying to leave that one as
McBain. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Yeah, there was a name in the middle, so it was McBain until it was 0 till 5, and then from 5 till about 8-ish, I was Munro, M-U-N-R-O, and then from 8 till now, well, my stepfather's surname is Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R.
Yep,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Am I able to grab the name of your mother and father, please?
Yeah, not a problem, yeah.
I'll take your mum's name when you was placed in care, and also the maiden name she's using now as well.
Right, yeah. Again, she's used three names in her life, so this is a little bit. I'm going to give you her. Do you want her maiden name and then her first married name and then her? I mean, so what do you want? Do you want her name when I would have went in?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Right. As far as I'm aware, it would have been Isabel, Isabel.
Yep.
And then a dash, and then Anne. Or actually, I don't know if she uses that. Actually, she just uses the middle name Anne, A-double-N.
Yep.
And then her first married surname was McBain, same as me. Although she may have reverted back to Monroe at that point. I don't know.
And Monroe was spelled M-U-N-R-O.
That's correct. Yeah, that is her original name, and she used it. She used it quite a lot. She did get married, she was married, but she got divorced, or she separated within the first few months of my birth, and then she didn't want to use the name,
Yeah, of course.
That's how she worked it. So she may be on the system as McBain, as Isabel Ann McBain. She may well be in the system as Miss Isabel Ann Monroe.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I've made the note of all three names just obviously because
and she's currently Isabel Ann Hunter.
Yeah.
Some
local authorities and institutions they file the records and sometimes obviously because you are under the age of 18 in the names of your mother and father, so that's why we just get that information now.
That's fine. Yeah.
It's sometimes it may not be used, but at least if someone comes back to us and requests it, we've got that there for them.
You've got all the details, so I can give you rough dates and that as well. But yeah, go on.
Perfect. That's okay. And the name of your father, if known, please.
Yeah, David, David.
Yep.
And can't remember his middle name, I'll be honest. But okay. Definitely, it was McBain, David McBain.
Okay, perfect. And the name of the surgery that you're registered with, please?
The name of the what, sorry?
The GP surgery that you're registered at.
Dr. Sutcliffe, Dr. Green, Park Road Practice, Dingle, D-I-N-G-L-E, sorry, Dingle, I've got that wrong. I'm going to say it again. Do apologise.
That's okay.
Doctors Green and Sutcliffe, Dingle Park Practice, Dingle.
Yep.
Liverpool.
Okay, perfect. I've got that there. Okay, and do you know the address that you lived in prior to being placed into care? I know you were a baby. It's okay if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, we lived in Glasgow, but I don't know the Glasgow address, but I was born in Stirling, and I did probably with a basic part here. Now, I'm not too good on this, so I'm just going to, you maybe want to put this with a little, little note or something. So
yeah.
I'm going to spell it as best I can remember. A, capital A, I-R-T-H-E-Y, Earth, or,
yeah.
we do it again, capital A-I-R-T-H-R-E-Y, Earth Ray, Park, Stirling, and I don't know the numbers or anything. That was, I definitely lived, well, as far as I'm aware, that was our first trip.
Yeah, okay, perfect. That's okay, that's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for sharing them details with me, Ian.
No problem.
Okay, so I do appreciate that discussion experiences connected to the application can be difficult and upsetting, but please take your time during this call. If you do need a break or further explanation, support, or prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Okay, and just to get the full picture of yourself, do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of?
No.
Okay. All right, Ian. So the purpose of today's call is to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you and the options that you have around the scheme. I'll also explain how INS Law operates on your behalf and discuss our funding and fees.
Yeah.
And I'll gather the initial information to assess whether we may be able to assist you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004.
Yeah.
It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm to represent you.
Yeah.
But the three options that are applicable to yourself is that option one, you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application.
Yes.
Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with the application, but regardless of whether you are successful or not with that application, they'll still receive them funds.
Yeah.
INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us via option three, you will be choosing your private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. Okay. I do just need to ask you, Ian, at this stage, can you confirm if you've instructed any other law firms to represent you with this redress scheme?
No.
No, okay, that's perfect. Okay, so our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. What that means to yourself, Ian, is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything.
Yeah.
And if you withdraw your application, on our advice, you won't pay anything either.
Yeah.
If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees will consist of basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment.
Yeah.
You'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%.
Right, so the maximum is 19.2, so we'll call it 20%. Right.
That's
cast iron. There's no deviation on that at all.
Not at all, no.
Right, that's your maximum fee, 20%.
That includes the success fee included in that as well.
I would get mine, you would get 20%, bottom line, well, 19 point whatever, but that is it. And that's irrespective of the offer, of the amount, is that right?
Yeah. That's correct. There's no hidden fees, there's nothing more to come up.
Yeah.
19.2 as a whole we take.
Yeah, if it was 100 grand, and it won't be, but if it was 100 grand, it'd be 20,000. If it was 10 grand, it'd be 2 grand, basically. Is that right?
That's absolutely bob on.
Okay, happy to concede, go ahead with that. I mean, I'm down here, so, you know, I'm kind of unaware. I'm aware of some of this, but I wasn't particularly interested or aware of it. I've kind of blotted this stuff out anyway, you know. So crack on, my mate, go on.
Not a problem, Ian, thank you. It is important that I make it clear that we cannot guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award that the scheme may award you.
Yeah.
But the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain in greater detail for you during this call. Okay, so if instructed, we can assist with whether you're eligible to apply to the redress scheme. We'll gather and review the evidence, prepare and submit the application for you, and then we have the full correspondence with the scheme. So we'll advise you of when we receive your application number, and then we'll also advise you of any offers made further down in the process.
Okay.
Also, on top of that, we'll also explain the statutory waiver to you if an award is offered, and we also offer any assistance with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, just touching on that statutory waiver, Ian. If a redress offer is made, we will fully explain the waiver to you before you decide whether to accept anything. But it is important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters.
I understand. So, in short, that basically means if you get a basic offer, but there's a potential to get a bigger offer, don't have to take the smaller offer. But would you be advising on that?
Yeah, we'd always give you the advice on that, and then obviously.
So you would. So in a more general point, you would say right. You've got a chance to get more than that, we would advise you to go for it. Or you would say, this is as good as it's going to get. Is that generally how you would do it? I mean, I know
that's,
it's not very...
Yeah,
is that in a very layman's nutshell? Yeah.
Yeah, no, basically, that's it.
So you will advise me, basically?
Yeah, of course.
You won't just leave it on me to make a decision? Because, obviously, I think you have a fairly good caseload. You're quite experienced in this.
Yeah, I am. I've been doing this for over a year and a half now, and I've got over 350, 400 clients. Some have already been getting their awards at this stage.
Have you got? And I know I'm maybe jumping ahead. Have you got any percentage figures of what are we looking at, or is that how I? Well, of course, it's a quick. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Leave that question because that's too involved. So crack on, mate. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay. So are you talking about a percentage in terms of success?
Yeah. Just wondering if it's got quite a high rate of success.
Yeah. So with the scheme, they straight away they recognise your application as a story to be heard. If obviously, unfortunately, you have suffered some form of abuse.
Yeah. With
that being said, there is near enough around about a 98% success rate. You can research that figure yourself with Google as well.
Happy days. Okay, thank you. Cheers.
That's okay. So with the statutory waiver, when the award is accepted, you then sign this waiver, and then you any authorities or councils, anything like that, that's been involved within the scheme, you then can't go and take out a civil matter against them.
I understand entirely, of course. So. Yeah, it's basically, you got it. I've got it. I've got it. Go on.
Yeah, perfect. All right, well, Ian, alongside that, if you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements.
Yeah.
You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst the cancellation might still remain.
All right, got that,
Perfect. So if that was the case, Ian, would you like us to start work straight away?
I'm going to say yeah. Go on.
Yep, of course, we can do that for you. Okay, so we are able to formally act for you. We will require a proof of your identity for verification purposes, also to comply with anti-money laws and regulations.
Sure.
So therefore, we will need photo ID and proof of address data within the last 3 months, potentially of today's date. You can send that over via WhatsApp or email, whatever is easier for yourself.
Yeah, it's always been a problem with it where I live because I don't pay the bills here. All I have really, I suppose, if you're happy with it, I would use it the other day that I hired a car, is my bank online bank statements and stuff. Would that be regarded as good? I've also got my photo ID in terms of driving license, which has got this address on it, and I've also got my passport, which doesn't have an address in it, does it? But that's all I've got. Just so I'm clear at the beginning, I've always stumbled over these things because I've done a few utility bills.
Of course. Well, we can accept the passport or the driver's license, either one of them. And then obviously, the mobile bank statement. Obviously, if you just send a screenshot of the top half where it's got your name, address, and the date of the statement, we can use that. That's not a problem.
Okay, good man.
As I said, you can send it over on WhatsApp if it's easier, or you can attach it in an email, either or. Once I've received them, I can upload
it. Probably WhatsApp is easier. I'll just take a photo of it and send it to you. How's that?
I'll just
screenshot it, as you say. I'll use my other phone. And I'm technically incompetent, so sometimes I do things like just take a photo of stuff and just on the other phone and then send it on the other, if you get what I mean, on a WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Happy with that.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah. No, well, that's why we've got that WhatsApp service sometimes. Some people don't know how to attach emails and stuff, so...
Yeah, I'll have a go. Okay.
I use WhatsApp myself a lot more, so it's easy for me to know.
Yeah. So we'll cross the first barrier, no problem. All right.
Yeah.
Go on, man.
So what I'll do for yourself now, Ian, is I'll just get that information about your time and care.
Yeah.
The four types of abuse that the redress scheme look at is neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse.
Yep.
So I'll grab the details of your care settings and unfortunately hear your experiences. Okay, so
yeah.
how many care settings have you been in, Ian?
One.
Okay, and what was the name of that?
Quarriers Homes, Renfrewshire, Bridge of Weir, Renfrewshire.
Okay, just bear with me. Quarriers Homes. Just trying to grab some details on Quarriers Homes now. So it was near Bridge of Weir.
Bridge of Weir, Renfrewshire. Yeah, Kilbrachan, but Bridge of Weir. Yeah.
Yep, okay, I've got that here. Okay, Quarriers Homes. Okay, perfect. Renfrewshire Council. Okay, and what year was you placed there?
It's either going to be 68. I think I was born on the 27th of August, 1968, and I went in, as far as I'm aware, either on or before my first birthday. So I think it was 68, but it could be 69.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine.
It definitely wasn't later than 69.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and how long was you there for?
I was there for at least 4.5 years. And obviously this is sketchy because my memory's bad. You know, I only know that I came out and basically started school. You know, I went to nursery school there. So I started in Scotland, they call it primary one. So I started primary one. Five-year-old. So I definitely was in a place called Bannock. I moved in with my granny in Bannockburn when I was 5 years old. I remember distinct memories of being in the street for the first time with kids that hadn't been in care in 1972. So yeah. You're looking at 68 to 72 or 69 to 73. You're looking at 68 to 72 or it could be 69 to 73. That's the period in care. I'm not sure.
Perfect. No, that's okay. That's obviously, yeah. Don't stress yourself out too much.
Yeah, that'll be on the record.
Yeah, we can relay that information.
Yeah,
a little bit of a ballpark to go off.
Yeah.
Okay, so with Quarriers Homes, Ian. Talk me through about the experiences that you enjoyed there.
Yeah. I'm not gonna be melodramatic. It was formative. It was where I started life. I didn't know much better. I didn't know any better. I was the youngest. There was a kid called Charlotte, and we were in Villa 5. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, children's home in Europe. It's basically a children's village. I know the history of the place, you know. It was idyllic in terms of where it was situated in the hills of Renfrewshire. It was beautiful countryside. The villas were big Victorian villas. I went into Villa, as far as I know, I might have been in another one, but the one that I remember distinctly is Villa 5, number 5, and it was a big house. There was about 15 to 25 kids in it.
Yeah.
I think there was 15 minimum. I think there might have been 20, 25, but you're dealing with a kid here whose memories are a little bit sketchy on numbers. But
yeah, okay.
I know I was the youngest. I was the youngest just by a little bit, and this girl was the two of us were the youngest. What else do you want to know? I mean, in terms of positives and do you want just negatives? Because I'll give you the negatives. My house parents, I've got absolutely nothing against. I think they were Bill and Helen. They were fantastic. Because my abuse was one kid basically more than anything. There was a hierarchy of abuse.
Yeah. Okay.
Go on.
No, it's okay. And when you say you've got that abuse from the other kids, what abuse are you talking? Is it emotional abuse, or do they physically hurt you?
Physical, sexual, emotional. What would you call it? Physical, sexual, emotional. not so much neglect, I don't know, I don't get much neglect. But I'd say, yeah, I suffer physical sexual abuse. And emotional. I said, well, emotional, yeah, emotional is a form of punishment, and yeah.
Yeah.
So, being a little kid, you're at the bottom of the food chain. So, you know, you take a lot. I mean, what was the abuse? Well, yeah, a few beatings. Got locked in cupboards.
Locked up in cupboards, or did you?
Yeah. I got locked in cupboards. So got told that I was getting taken away, that my ma was dead. My ma wasn't dead, by the way, you know. I was one of the few kids. I was kind of privileged because I had a ma that visited me every Sunday. So it was a strange one because every other child in there was, nearly every other child had nobody visited.
Yeah.
You know? So there was a sort of jealousy, I think. Maybe I felt some of the older kids. It was a 14, 15-year-old that I think he ended up in Carstairs Mental Institution, which is a state mental institution. He says he was quite abusive to me over the, when I looked by, you know.
Yeah.
Threatened to throw me out of windows. Fucking Jesus. He tried to drag me out. There was a river. He just wanted to throw me in the river. There was a lot of potential violence, you know. Hey, I'm still here, but a lot of scary moments as a kid growing up in there, you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. One thing that really pissed me off as a little kid was everything I got on a Sunday was stolen by one another. My ma would buy me something, and she'd give me something, you know, like a toy car or I remember a fishing rod, which ties in with this kid took me fishing, buying my fishing rod, you know, that I just got, and basically I can't remember if he stole it or broke it and threw it in the water and then threatened to take me into the that caused me to piss myself. Anyway, so yeah, it was quite heavy at times when I look back, you know, because it was only about 2 or 3, 4 year old, you know.
Yeah, of course. You've just briefly tried to mention there, Ian, it caused you to bedwet. Was that from the incidents that were happening?
Yeah, that would have been because of the fears that I had. I didn't want to be in the dormitory, and I couldn't sleep at night. And my house parents, Helen, took me out. I mean, being the youngest, you know, she went beyond the call of duty and took me out after a while and put me in her own room for a while.
Yeah.
Because I was getting, I wasn't happy in the sharing rooms with other lads, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm too young to. I only have very you block things out, mate. You know.
Yeah.
You it's a survival instinct.
Yeah.
So when you come out of there, you remember the good things. You block out the bad things, and you just move on. I had a psychiatrist when I was a kid. I tried to commit suicide when I was like 7, 6, 7, 8. You know, so I obviously had some traumas, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But I worked my way through them, although I've completely underachieved in life. But I've never done half the things that probably I managed. A lot of people have said that, you know, I've shown incredible resilience in terms of fucking being able to survive, you know. But I am definitely not the person I should be, if you know what I mean. All my family are really educated and clever and really getting on the world. I can get, you know, all my cousins and that are like doctors and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I can get on with life, you know. I've just been a drifter all my days, you know. I shouldn't feel. I mean, I've avoided a lot of bad stuff. I've avoided jail, for example, which is, you know, one good thing. But I've managed to avoid stuff. But I've carried stuff for years that I've never really been unburdened with. I don't particularly want to at 57, 58 go and get myself any care. My carers, Helen and Bill, were excellent. There was a 2 or 3 staff that were a bit dodgy, but, you know, I've only got... Sexual abuse was by other kids, by the way. And the officer invalid case. But I see that as... It was impossible for two people. I'm an adult now looking back, and I worked in social work for a while. it's impossible for two adults to live in a house. It's a good system, but they are. Can you imagine two middle-aged people looking after 15 kids? It's impossible. There's lots of, they take their eye off the ball without being, it's not their negligence, it's just they have lives to live, you know? They've got other kids, they've got crises developed. The kids that I'm talking about that are abusive to me were all older than me by 5, 6, 7 years. Some of them were in the mid-teens, you know? So I had a couple of incidents that I don't really want to, well, I feel that I may have been, you know, I feel I've got a bad memory of being sexually abused by a handyman, but I just try to block it.
Yeah, I
understand.
Okay.
When
you say you were sexually abused by the other kids, though, what was it that they'd done to you, Ian?
Just genital stuff, you know, take your trousers off, take your bottoms off, and lay you on a bed, and you know, play with you, things like that, you know. Make it sounds horrible, but they made it like a game. So I just didn't really know much different at 2, 3 year old, 4 year old, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't, it's only when you're older you realise that was a little bit more. It was doctors and nurses, but it was a bit heavy, you know. I mean, there was one or two bits, but I just, yeah. It was a little bit beyond that, you know.
Yeah, no, of course.
The key thing I've got to always remember, I was very, very young compared to the people, the kids around me, you know. There was the next oldest that was in that, I don't remember the name, yeah, about 7, 8, 9. But they'd been abused themselves, you know. There's a culture of sexual abuse, you know.
Yeah.
It's a big children's home. Some very damaged kids in there, you know. So, yeah. You know. Anyway, so I don't know if that constitutes, to me it does, but whether the Scottish Government feels that was some form of neglect or abuse, whether there's any culpability on MD's behalf, I don't know.
It definitely is a recognisable form of sexual abuse, 100%. Because you being this young and you know, going through the motions of, obviously, as you just said, then, you know, you've had your pants took off, you've been laid down on the bed.
Yeah, laying on beds and laying rooms and stuff. And it happened outside as well during plays. We had lots of woodland and we had a little river nearby. You know, there was a lot of, it was a great idyllic place for a kid to grow up, you know. But it had lots of opportunities for unsupervised kids, if you get what I mean. So there was opportunities for stuff to happen that did happen. And you know, so there was that. The other, there was one or two. There was one lad in particular that was, like I say, he got committed later. He was just the most damaged individual I've ever met in my life. But thankfully, he never killed me. You know, so
yeah.
But his abuse was sadistic, shall we say?
Yeah.
It was mental, physical torture. It was mental, physical. It wasn't sexual. It was mental, physical torture. He loved making me absolutely fucking piss myself. He loved making me cry. I was wrecked. I'm pleading for, begging for, you know, to be left, not to be able to live. You know, to see my mother on the Sunday. So he had he pressed a lot of good buttons on me. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a bit traumatic, I suppose. You know.
Yeah.
Left me with a very big sort of fear of other people. You know, power. I hate power. I hate people having power over me. So I've become very aggressive, and you know, it's caused me a lot of trouble in my life. It's caused me criminal convictions because I respond badly to MD trying to, you know.
Yeah, of course, I understand.
Get one over me. Like,
yeah.
Even in school, say, you know, normal banter. If a kid overstepped the boundary, I just smack him. I just ended up a tough kid because the only way I could survive.
Of course.
When I left the home, I got an awful lot of trouble. I mean, I was a prolific. You know, I was in front of the panel, children's panel. You know, I was scared shitless. I was going back to care because I was institutionalized. So I was like, fucking, you know, I was like desperate to. Well, I didn't know much. Looking back, my mother and then my stepfather helped me to a degree. But we worked at, good news is, I'm getting that. I've never spoken to it. I'm treating you like a counsellor, but yeah, I got it off my, I worked my way through it. Do you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
and I managed to get from about, from coming out of there from 5 to about 10 or 11, I managed to resolve most of the issues, and I managed to realise that that wasn't, nothing was my fault and all that. And I didn't be abusive, or I tried not to be abusive to other people in any way, shape or form. Because
yeah. Yeah, no, well, you've done well to get yourself where you're having, and
yeah.
It's say that again, sorry, Ian.
What's your name, pal? Sorry, what's your name?
Sorry, my name is Aaron.
Alan, Ian, well, yeah.
Aaron.
Aaron, I do apologise,
yeah.
Aaron. So, yeah, man, so, like, the whole thing up is just... So, I've had an impact, but, hey, if the difficult thing I've got is that Andy can turn around and say, well, you were 1, 2, 3, 4 year old. These are memories that you can't give us great details on. I can't give you great details. I put my hands up. I cannot give you names. I got vague details because I was so young. But
yeah.
All I can say is these things happen to me. Whether they constitute abuse and neglect, they do. But whether they'll be recognised, because when this first came out, I was like, yeah, I remember a few dodgy people, but I didn't suffer from systematic sexual abuse from an individual, a member of staff that I can remember, apart from the handyman guy that used to come in.
Yeah.
But that guy is, as far as I'm aware, that guy's in jail, you know. That guy got done for heavy amount of rape, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, there's one particular man that's one of Scotland's most prolific, child sex criminals.
Wow.
Guess what? He worked in the biggest children's home in Scotland. Isn't that? There's about five of them. There was a ring, you know.
Yeah.
So they, like back in the day in the '60s and that, prolific paedophiles love working with kids, you know. So they worked in, and because the bar was low to get into these big children's homes, they got in as, and if they didn't get in as like they couldn't get in as social work types, they'd get in as caretakers and gardeners and shit like that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where the ring that was operational in there was based. The fella that I'm talking about was more interested in girls than boys, by the way. So, you know, he definitely raped two or three of the girls that I was in care with.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously I'm not gonna get any more information off you, Ian. You know, there's enough that I need for now. We are gonna get a witness statement off you at a later date. You know, this is further months down in the process, and the team that we're alongside ourselves, they specialise in doing these witness statements.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no problem. We'll do a statement. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going into deep detail with yourself as much as they can. Only to
appreciate that this might have been heavy for you to listen to, but I was just, you know, I disassociate myself because I just see myself as a different person. You know, I was a kid and it wasn't my fault, so I'm quite matter of fact about it, purely because, you know, like you can either blank something completely or you can come to terms with it. And I, over the last 20 years, worked it out because my partner and that spoke to me about all this, you know. So it was it was handy to get it out there without being judged, you know what I mean?
Same with myself, Ian. You know, I'm not here to judge you anyway. You know,
exactly.
Your story and
just,
you know,
getting out there. So
and
I just wanted you to know that there was issues. I mean, I would never have contacted you if there wasn't. You know.
Yeah. No, of course, and that's why I was thinking, you know,
because it's just not something people want to be aware of. You know?
Exactly.
And this is obviously strict confidence. There's the only people that will know these things are yourselves and whoever's the investigating officers, I suppose, you know.
Nothing goes public, nothing like that. Obviously all your details are kept private and confidential. No information sold on 23rd parties, nothing like that.
So
it is all with ourselves, and
it'll
only be ourselves and the Scottish Government and the panel
who'll adjudicate on it and look at it. That's brilliant, mate. Yeah, and it's all pretty much so. Yeah, that's it. If you don't need any more grim details, I won't give you any more, but I'll certainly be able to furnish whoever wants to talk to me about it in more detail. But as I say, it's what it is. It's a long time. It's 53 years ago. So
yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
but
no,
anyway, I'm now just thinking, is there a historical cut-off on this?
Is there a what, sorry?
Is there a historical cut-off point? Is this... Are the... Are the cases live till when? From what date are they live? I know it's up till a certain date, is it not? 2000 and something.
So it's up till 2004. Obviously anything that's happened before 2004, is still applicable.
So the 1960s are relevant, yeah.
Yeah, 70s. Of course. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I just wondered if it was so long ago that it wouldn't be regarded as admissible. Okay.
Yeah. No, of course it is. Just one little thing to bear in mind, Ian. Obviously, with you being in care, obviously quite a few years ago, some of these records, the local authorities, institutions, it'll take them a little bit longer to find them.
I know.
Obviously, someone being in the 90s or whatever.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know where the referral to go to Quarries would have went through now. I could ask my mother, but she's not somebody that she's got a bit of dementia. She doesn't really want to. It's not something I really want to talk to her about, you know.
Yeah, no, of course.
So I don't know if you need it for your notes, but Stirling was where I live, but Glasgow. We live between Stirling and Glasgow, but Quarriers is definitely Renfrewshire, Bridgeyweir, so it's under their jurisdiction. But the referrals were coming from all, for every kid in there. Came from all over Scotland. It was a national children's home, if you know what I mean. It was like kids from everywhere. So
yeah.
She could have got me referred to Stirling social work, or she could have got me referred in through Glasgow social work, because she was in Glasgow at the time as well. So I don't know who was what social work department. It was one of the two. But there is a final one. It could be Inverness, because that's where she comes from. So it's really complicated. She's really moving around a lot. She was really in a bad place, you know.
Yeah.
My mother at the time. If you need any help with that, yeah, I'm sure. What social department put the referral in? My mother always tells me this. My mother's IT officer, and I totally, me and my mother going great, but she always says, I was told to do this. I had to do this by the social work. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to put you in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I know it was done through social services, social work. And I've got a funny feeling it was Glasgow, but it may well have been Inverness or Stirling. So, who knows?
Yeah. Well, listen.
Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, what we are doing, we are send out the subject access request to Stirling Council, Glasgow.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Are you there, mate?
Hello, Ian.